Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 25th, 2014, the last Wednesday in June. Is that important, Jason? I don't know. What do you think?
No, other than the fact that the year seems to be going really quick.
Yes.
Seems to be just kind of flying by.
4th of July around the corner. It's a great day to be alive, though. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. A couple quick updates, things that are going on. One thing that, Jason, I think I spent probably close to 2 hours yesterday reviewing some of your requests for new sites on our upcoming trip to Israel, November 6th through the 15th. I've been emailing a number of requests and correspondence with our ground operator, Blue and White Israel Tours in Israel, and talking to our guide, Eitan Ratov, along with Lindy, on coordinating the days and the times and when it would be best to visit some of these sites. So we've been talking about it, and I spent a couple days last week calling up 20-plus references, telling 13 of our pilgrims that in less than 5 months they'll be walking on holy ground. And so if you've had an interest ever in being on location where the biblical events took place, the biblical narrative coming alive in such a unique way, then come join us or consider entertaining the idea of joining us November 6th through the 15th. It's a 10-day trip to the Holy Land, and I think all the facets are coming together. Hopefully in the next week I'll have the specific itinerary. That's always subject to change because sometimes weather-related or the temperament of the group or the time of day will say, hey, let's do the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee the next day, or today we're going to experience the Garden of Gethsemane, then we're going to follow through with over a visit to Caiaphas' house, and then there's an availability for us to go on to the Temple Mount or to do the Western Wall Tunnel tour, and so sometimes there's adjustments or we can include something or a unique speaker's available. And so the trip is very adaptable, and yet we're very excited to take a group of people November 6th through the 15th. And so if you have any questions or want to know more, our theme is going to be You Have Heard It Said, But I Tell You, and we'll be studying the four Gospels. And co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel has been studying and preparing, and he'll be the primary teacher. Mark Maxey, who is a guitarist, songwriter, singer, I talked to him a few weeks ago, and he's going to be bringing his guitar and providing worship on the trip. And I think with our orientation meetings, Jason, and maybe even some future pre-trip teaching, he said, hey, anytime you need some worship music, he's going to come along. But he's excited. It'll be the first time he's toured. And we have some other friends showing an interest in this tour. And if you'd like to have your questions answered, I can tell you how it all works, the costs, and how it comes together. Just give me a call at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And some of you might be saying, now, what are these new sites that they're talking about that they've never gone to before? One, I'm almost certain is going to be a part of the trip. We'll be seeing King Herod's palace, his burial site. There's a lot of mosaics in that first century Roman archaeological dig that's been uncovered the last year or two. It's a phenomenal site. It's in the West Bank. It's around Bethlehem. And so we're working out arrangements to see that and the Samaritans. What's the
Samaritans Inn? Yep.
Yeah. You were interested in that?
Jesus healed the Samaritan. Yep.
And I think there's some mosaics from all over the country that they've put on display there, along with a special site. What else in that West Bank? Oh, the Church of the Nativity.
The Church of the Nativity, yep. And maybe an aerial glimpse of the monastery over there. We'll have to see. Yeah, some new things. I mean, and not even that, but just the archaeology of David is even farther along. They've really, the antiquities ministry has really been pushing into the archaeology of David, looking at where his palace is, the different artifacts and that. So they've really made in the last couple of years, if you read the magazine Biblical Archaeology, they have really made some great strides in that. So even if you've been to Israel before, the land is always, in a way, evolving, or I guess we would almost say uncovering itself, because God is guiding men and women to move across and begin to dig up. You know, I always say this. I say, if you have a problem with the Bible, it's not the Bible's problem. It's your problem. Mm-hmm. And at some point, God will move the heart of a man to dig up the thing that will begin to help the Bible to make sense to you. The Bible already makes sense to God. The Bible is already a perfect revelation. But sometimes we find these artifacts and we go, wait a second, this is...
This validates. day six.
Yeah, this is tied to the Chaldeans of Ur, and Abraham was there. And, oh, my gosh, this validates up until 1960-something, I think it was, they had no knowledge, historical written knowledge, of Pilate. Mm-hmm. And then they found the Pilate stone near Caesarea Maritima, and from there was able to validate that Pontius Pilate was, in fact, who the Bible says he was. So, once again, we were going, well, we don't really have any evidence for Pilate except for the Bible, but the Bible is ultimately the best source of evidence that we have. And then God goes, well, you know what? Let me help the hard-hearted ones. There's a stone you're going to uncover over here, and that'll help you to understand that my word is true, that what I say is infallible. And so, yeah, there's a lot of great things that they're uncovering. Even as we've gone, the gaps in between, they've done so much. You go back and there's some areas where you say, this looks totally different.
Yeah, where they've upgraded like the museum or the air conditioning, or where they'll show a picture or a film or overview of 2,000 years worth of history, and they'll give you a lot of visual aids. And yeah, it's very exciting. It'll be my 27th trip, and some of you might say, what? 27 times?
He goes,
are you
back
crazy?
To the French fries.
Yeah. Well, or Eitan, our guide, will say, Mark, after all these trips, you still have to keep coming back. When are you going to learn? You need to learn. And so we're very excited. I think we're putting together a great package. The price is right. I don't think you can go any cheaper, and yet it's not a cheap trip whatsoever. It's top-of-the-line hotels and accommodations and such. And I should qualify this. I think most all our Great News Radio listeners are aware of this, Jason, but no ministry funds whatsoever go to underwrite or to sponsor this trip. The trip costs are all built into each and every pilgrim's expenses. And so nothing from the radio ministry goes towards this. Your donations do not go towards these trips. It's all paid for by the delegates going on the trip.
And I think it's important, too, that there's no profit built into this
right.
trip, whereas some of the trips that you would take maybe through some other venues or avenues, there's some profit built into there. But these trips are pretty... I mean, I think your trip here is $31.99,
yeah.
Which if you were to get any of the biblical archaeology, is a great place to look for trips, because that's where a lot of places advertise their trips, and every trip in there is $4,000 to $6,000.
Well, Mary Welchel, if you hear Mary Welchel, the Christian Working Woman right before us, they'll be in Israel during some of the same dates that we're there. I think her trip is like it's $1,000 plus more, and that's like where you get your own transportation to the airport, and I think that's flying out of Newark, so you have to have like another $200 or $300 or $400. And so I've never known of a more affordable trip offered that had the same itinerary and the same deluxe hotels and such that was anywhere within $500 or $700 of us. And like I said, we don't make any profit, and because of, thank you God for Karen Harrison, and we don't have any other additional expenses. I work on the trip itineraries, we work directly with the airlines, and we work directly with the land operator in Jerusalem, who gives us a good deal because we have done so many humanitarian trips in the past. So they offer us some great prices. And if you have an interest in learning more, we'll have some upcoming meetings in the next month or so. But if you want to know more, I can send you some literature. And I think I have all sorts of information, like frequently asked questions. I think I have a 4-page guide that can walk you through some of what's expected and how it works and the process of getting your passport. And you don't need any shots. You can bring your American dollars. It's pretty simple. And we'll be flying United this time over to Israel. It'll be an evening flight. Basically, they're about 7 hours ahead of us. So by the time we land, we'll be able to tour a little bit. And then we'll get to our hotel, have dinner, sleep the night, and then begin our first day touring around the Sea of Galilee. So it's going to be a great trip. We'll spend 3 or 4 days in and around the Galilee area. Then we'll be around Jerusalem. We'll make it down to the Dead Sea region, the Judean Desert, and then we'll be as far north as Caesarea Philippi on the border of Lebanon and Syria. So it's going to be a great trip. If you'd like to join us, and we have people young and old alike that can make this trip, it'll be a slower pace, because I think, Jason, part of your heart after your last two trips was building in that community time where we can pray and absorb what was just taught.
Yeah.
And share. And
well, I found one of the things that people are driven by, there's two things I want to say here. Number one, one of the things that people are driven by is they want to talk about what they've seen. They want to process it. So I think it's very helpful in the morning to do some devotional time together, devo time, maybe earlier breakfast or something, or before breakfast. But whoever wants to get up, get out of bed, do a little devo time, eat some breakfast, go on the thing. But then when you come back, do a little evening devo and share what you've seen and how it's impacted you and how it's affected you. Some people go and maybe journaling is not something you've ever done. See, me, I journal, so I have a lot of kind of internal ability to catch things. But if you've never done those kinds of things, you're kind of on a trip like this left with this, what do I do with this incredible story I'm experiencing and I'm going through and I need to process it? And so this is why I think that on the trips, roommates become so close, mm-hmm. is because they start to share and talk about that. But I'd love to bring that out into the bigger groups. The other thing I want to say that I think is important, and I don't think we have to sell the trip. Whoever needs to be on this trip is a person God is going to move towards coming on this trip. If you think you want to be on the trip, you're saying, I just don't know how it's going to happen, I would start praying and asking God how it's going to happen, because only He's going to be able to make it happen. But one of the things that I've been encountering is I've been talking to some people who do different trips, and they go on some different trips, or they sponsor trips. Nobody ever talks about the guide. And what's interesting is you could go with Beth Moore on a trip over there. But the preponderance, the majority of the information you get comes from the guide,
yeah.
and the quality of the guide. Now, you'll spend a little time with Beth and rub shoulders with Beth. You'll think you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
But really, what you're going to learn and experience in Israel comes from the guide. And generally, a lot of these places who do trips, they don't talk about the guides because they have a rotating kind of pool of guides, where you've been so lucky to be able to have pretty much the same guide all the time, yeah. and build a relationship, a friendship, a trust in Eitan's knowledge. Eitan is wonderful, a database of knowledge. You just hit a button and that guy just starts talking, and he'll take you through thousands of years of history and help you to really, from a good layman standpoint, understand the evolution of the land of Israel. And that comes out of, number one, his deep love for the knowledge of Israel, but also his deep love for the land of Israel. Spend enough time around Eitan, you're going to fall in love with the land of Israel, because he deeply loves the land of Israel. He's Israeli. But I think that's something that never gets discussed, because when I was talking with a friend of mine, and he said, yeah, you know, we're looking to get this great trip teacher. He goes, who's you're going to be here? I said, well, we just went mediocre. It's me. I said, but we got a great guide. I said, nobody ever talks about the guide, because the guide is the one who really, I could be the greatest. I'm just going to be honest with you. I could be the greatest teacher in the world, get over there and go, wow, I don't know anything compared to what the guide, because the guides know, they're living and breathing these sites every day. They've studied this history. They've studied as the archaeology is being come out of the ground. I heard a lot of really gifted Bible teachers, seminary professors, a lot of very learned people tell me that they've come back from Israel with their kind of their academic conceptions blown apart, because they never really understood some of these things. You know, they understood the books, but they didn't understand the application of the fifth gospel, which is the land. Now, some of you might get fired up about that. Don't get fired up about that. It's just a word. I just said fifth gospel. We didn't add it into the Bible. We didn't. It's not in the canon. But it really is, because part of the thing that you're missing when you read about Jesus walking on the water is you're missing a picture of what the water looks like. You're missing a picture of how far away the land was. You're missing a picture of how the sun set behind the mountains. You're missing the sense, the smell, and the taste, and all of those kinds of things. And when you experience that, I'm just going to tell you, one of my favorite memories of being in Israel was being up north at Dan, where Abraham's Gate is. And just coming upon this street, this stone street, which is from the city of Dan, thousands upon thousands, biblical history-wise, 3,000 years ago. In the original street that probably Abraham walked on. You don't want to put too much credibility there, but he possibly could have walked there. But just stomping my feet on the ground and just having this moment where God's like, these stones, I've been here for a long time. And just these verses where the stones will cry out. And I just felt like these stones were crying out history, what God had done in this place through thousands upon thousands of years. And by my very walking on these stones, I'm now part of that story. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty interesting. Pretty fast, pretty miraculous, let's just be honest with you.
I like that you pointed that out about Eitan. I've never thought about it, but I've based all my trips on his availability. I've been there, like I said, this will be my 27th trip, and I've seen many different guides. I've utilized different guides at different times. Eitan, maybe one time he was hospitalized for a day, and I had a fill-in, or when we had two bus loads, we had two different guides, and there was a few times he wasn't available. And many times I've launched into another group for maybe a day or an afternoon where I got to see how their guides were. And Eitan, I build the trips around his availability. He's that good. He was one time rated as one of the top five guides in all of Israel, and he's been doing this for 40 plus years. He knows the Bible backward and forward better than many pastors that I know, and he will teach and present like, this is where Jesus healed and this is where this event took place. But logistically, he's one of the best, because mm-hmm. on a moment's notice he can say, hey, this group is tiring out, let's save this for tomorrow, let's restructure this, hey, we're not going to wait in line at this restaurant. Let's reroute and go north. And he's phenomenal. I spend a lot of time up front talking with him. Hey, what can we do? Let's adapt this. Let's change the schedule. It's going to rain today, so let's not do the Golan Heights now. And so he will save the group time and energy and effort. And he can read a group very well. And he's funny, and yet he's got so much insight. Like you said, you put a quarter in him, and for 8 hours he can talk and tell stories.
And I think that's one thing that's missed in the discussion about trips, because we might say, well, I get to go with this person. And I wasn't picking on any celebrity-led trips. But my thing is, the amount of time you're going to spend with Beth Moore or whoever else it is minuscule to the time you're going to spend with the guide, because the guide's the one who's there with you on the bus. He's the one who's talking. He's the one who's sharing the lion's share of the information. And so the guide is really who you're going to learn and grow as you're this pilgrim in the land, as you're walking through the land, as you're trying to understand your place in this bigger story. Because you may know your place sort of in the Bible. As you're reading the Bible, you go, well, somewhere Acts 29, I'm somewhere in that unknown chapter of, you know, but as you walk through the land, you begin to insert yourself into these other stories, some of the stories that maybe you haven't read. Maybe you've been like, oh, First or Second Kings, I don't know, I'm not reading that. That's like with Leviticus, I don't really read that. So then when suddenly you find yourself on Mount Carmel, you're in strange territory because you've never heard this story. You've just very kind of sheepishly skirted around the story of the prophets of Baal, and you've never been there. And suddenly now you're in the story by the very nature of being there. Or you've never pondered Armageddon, but now you're standing in the valley of Armageddon, and you're looking around in this place where the Bible says that blood up to the horse's bridle will one day be, because of this amazing battle between the forces of good and evil as a new heaven and a new earth come together in Revelation. I mean, so suddenly you're a part of this bigger story in a way that you've never been before, because the Bible for you so far has just been something you've opened and you've read. It's never been something where it's been boots on the ground for you.
I know I've shared maybe some of these examples over the past, but by the mere fact that I've taken hundreds over, there's never been an exception when somebody's returned that they haven't looked at the Bible with new lenses, where they say, I just never knew the distances. I never knew so many things were so close together. Or I never realized that. And like a couple things that come to mind, like when we're around the Sea of Galilee area and we're on the Mount of Beatitudes, and, you know, we'll read many times Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in that reference. And I don't know how many times this has happened, but it's happened frequently enough. Somebody will say, look at the birds of the air as Jesus is speaking. And most likely he was pointing at a flock, because there's a major migration of birds throughout Europe that go through Israel or around that area. And so that would have been a common occurrence many years ago, as it still is today. Or that storm, that illustration where Jesus is on the boat and he says to his disciples, we're going to go to the other side. And he decides to take a nap and he's down below. And these fishermen that knew when to boat and when to fish and when to be out, suddenly they're crying out, we're going to die, we're all going to drown. And Jesus calms the storm. Well, what happens even to this day, because from the Sea of Galilee to the Mediterranean Sea, I think it's 26 or 32 miles. It's a narrow part of Israel. Well, you get these weather fronts that come from either North Africa or Europe. They get over the Mediterranean. Then around the Sea of Galilee, if you're boating on it, you'll see the north, south, east, and west. It's all surrounded by mountain ranges all around the Sea of Galilee. And so you see that. And what you realize is these weather fronts come in, come up over the mountain range, and crash into the Sea of Galilee. So even to this day, these storms come up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens and you're on a boat and you're like, wow, this biblical story is no longer a story. This is an occurrence that even happens today. And so you make these. They're called kesher. The Hebrew word is kesher. The English equivalent is Velcro. You make this connection with the biblical narrative of the story, or you see something firsthand, it's like, wow, this really is true. Mm. Though we know the Bible is true, suddenly it takes it to another level where, wow, these things are happening. So,
and then on top of that, just the people, the food, the air of being in the Middle East, there's just a dynamic there that is really interesting. For me, being, you know, Western kind of evangelical Christian, you know, living in Central Illinois, it's refreshing to go there and to see how other people live, to talk to other people, to eat different kinds of food, to understand that the world is bigger than me. And I think that's so important, because I know that some of you and pilgrims who have gone many times would agree with me that the biblical sites are so powerful and we have so much happening there and God's showing us where we fit in the story. But then on top of that, God is showing us that people from all over the world are just beautiful. I mean, great people, to watch them, to get a chance to talk to them, go down to the old city in the square, and we go to Shorshim Shop and talk with Moshe and realize that even though Moshe is an Orthodox Jew and, you know, we're evangelical Christians, that there are bridges there that can be built, that we actually believe a lot more together than we deny singularly. And so it's a great time. And I'm friends with a lot of people who went on past trips on Facebook. And you come back and you see them. Meg Drennan comes to mind. She posts a lot of great things about her support of Israel. Sharon Fernald does the same thing. Just a lot of their support for Israel. They've been over there. They've breathed the air. They've met the people. They've caught the passion for that. And they've begun to say, you know what, this world is bigger than just where I'm from. There's other people groups. And those people groups, by the way, are deeply connected to the biblical story also. We read Revelation 144,000. A lot of scholars believe those 144,000 who make that last stand in the Valley of Armageddon on the way to Petra are most likely Jewish believers. In fact, when I was in Bible college, there was a professor that I had, Liberty, who went every summer for 30-something years, and he and his wife would go to Israel, and they would go and they would buy 30 or 40 of these Torahs, which is the Hebrew Bible, and they would buy shovels and Ziploc bags, and they'd put the Bibles in Ziploc bags, and they would go out to the desert, and they would bury the Bibles under the ground, because he had a firm belief that when those Jews made their last stand across that valley, that he wanted to make sure they had God's word beneath their feet.
Classic. Well, another facet, I'm thinking of all the people that you get to interact with when you're there. People from all over the world are doing a spiritual pilgrimage. So you'll see the Brazilians or people from South Korea, and they'll be singing Amazing Grace in their language. Mm. And when we take communion in the Garden Tomb on that last night.
Or the upper room where they're singing the songs up there because of the acoustics in the upper room. Yeah. And you get to hear Amazing Grace in different languages. Yeah. It's beautiful because you realize that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I mean, we sing that in American, right, at church every couple weekends. You realize that that same amazing grace was doled out across the ocean in Brazil or Africa, that God's grace is bigger than simply my backyard, and that God has been doling out that amazing grace all over the place. So it's powerful to meet those people. Mm-hmm. And to be able to experience that. So,
so this concludes our Israel infomercial.
Yes. This non-paid sponsor.
But wait, there's more.
Yes.
Sake knives. And
you can be a part of this, listening friend. It's all happening November 6th through the 15th. I'd love to talk to you more. I'm passionate about it. My spiritual gifts line up with exhortation, helping to see people grow, helping to put together like an environment, a study, a session, something where God is honored and people cling to him. People want to read his word. Jason loves to teach and preach and proclaim his word clearly, and so that'll be happening each and every day. There'll be devotional times. There'll be testimony times. We'll sing and worship and pray together and have a lot of fellowship. We've built many lifelong, lasting relationships through these trips, and God may be calling you to go, maybe this time, maybe in the future. The trip that we're going on is always the last trip till God puts it on my heart or somehow generates, hey, there's another theme, there's another time to go. But I've nothing planned for 2015, but it seems like God always works when we return, and people are already saying, when's the next trip? But this is happening November 6th through the 15th, and I'd love to take you because I know what God will do. I don't know what God will do, but God seemingly always shows up in unique ways where he becomes more real, the Bible becomes more attractive, people are hungry to read it, especially the Old Testament. Some of those stories you just skip through. Now when you walk in some of these places where these events took place, you're more interested and it's more intriguing, and then Natan fills in a lot of the information maybe you've never been taught. And so the trip is coming together. We'll have an itinerary soon, and if you want to learn more or you want to be put on a list so you can be included in maybe some upcoming special teachings on Israel, give us a call. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of